Welcome to the Becoming Whole podcast, where we help men, women, and families learn and live God's good, holy, and beautiful design for sexuality. I'm your host, Josh Glazer, and we're glad you're here. You ready? Let's dive in. Even though Christmas is over, I want to go back to some Christmas lyrics to start us off today. You guys know the beautiful song, O Holy Night. The lyrics go, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. Till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. That is such a powerful line. And each time I've heard it this last Christmas season, what kept coming to mind for me was not just that the soul felt its worth, but the body felt its worth, which I think is biblically so sound, because God, who is spirit, became flesh. He became a human person. He became a human being, body, soul, and spirit. And so in His appearing, in His physical bodily appearing, our bodies felt their worth. So we're in a mini series right now, addressing sexual integrity. And if you're after sexual integrity in 2022, if you are, if you love somebody or walking with somebody who's pursuing sexual integrity, just starting off by looking at the idea of sexual integrity through some lenses that are not typically thought of when we're talking about sexual integrity. 2 weeks ago, I talked about sexual integrity means trusting that your body is made for God and not for sexual immorality. Even though you may feel pleasure in your body, Scripture is clear that that pleasure is not a sign that your body is just lustful and loves to have sex in ways that God forbids, but rather that your body is designed for God. Whatever it feels in the moment of sexual pleasure, you still can always acknowledge that your body is designed first and foremost for God and for His will, not for sexual immorality. And then last week I talked about the role of our emotions and specifically our desires when it comes to sexual integrity, that if we are going to become people of sexual integrity, we actually need to become more emotionally whole. And I read a quote from Jay Stringer's book, Unwanted, where he astutely talks about integrity. A lack of integrity doesn't begin when we act out sexually. A lack of integrity begins when we cease to care for ourselves as whole people. And that includes when we cease to tend to or neglect to tend to our emotional needs, our relational needs. When we cease to do that, then we are acting in a way that is disintegrated as opposed to being people of integrity. This week, I want to return to talking about our bodies, but I want to approach it from a different angle. And I want to specifically talk about our bodies as sexed bodies, as gendered bodies, because we're not just bodies in some kind of generic asexual sense. We are bodies, either male or female. This is how God created us. And we see this beginning in Genesis 1, right at the very beginning, when God creates human beings in His likeness, in His image. The scriptures say that when He did so, what's the first identifying characteristic of this creature made in God's image and in God's likeness? Male and female, He created them. Male and female, He created them. This is the defining characteristic about how we are image bearers of God. Not that God is male or female. Not that God is both male and female. That would be reversing the scriptures. God's not made in our image. We are made in His image. So our maleness and femaleness in some way image God, who is neither male nor female. But the reason this is important for us is because it lends itself to the reality that we are created, designed with a biological sex, either male or female. So today I just want to make this claim that to be a person of sexual integrity means in part living at peace with our biological sex, living at peace with our gender. And I mean that in the the older sense of gender, not the newer sense. There are people today who use the word gender, and this will probably be picked up more and more and more, to mean just your subjective internal sense of your sexual self, regardless of your biological sex. But it used to be that biological sex and gender were synonymous, and that's kind of the way I'm using it today. Now, you may be listening and thinking, well, I am at peace with my maleness, or I am at peace with my femaleness. I am at peace with being a man. I am at peace with being a woman. And you may even be thinking, you know, well, because I don't have gender dysphoria. I'm not dealing with transgenderism. And I'd suggest to you that gender dysphoria or transgenderism, if those are issues for you or for a family member, those are on maybe one side of a spectrum of living disintegrated from a biological sense or biological sex. But there are other forms of disintegration in that regard. So let me just ask some questions just to kind of get your wheels turning a little bit. How at home do you feel with your biological sex? How at home do you feel in your sexed body, your male or female body? Next question. How at home do you feel with others of the same sex? So if you're a man, how at home do you feel with other men? If you're a woman, how at home do you feel with other women? When you're with them, do you feel self-conscious of how you look? Do you feel self-conscious about what you know and how you come across, how you present as a man or a woman in those settings? How at home do you feel in your sex when you're with the other gender? So if you're a man, how at home do you feel? How natural do you feel as a man when you're with women? If you're a woman, how comfortable and how at home are you in your sex when you're with men? Do you feel comfortable, safe, secure in yourself as you're relating with people of the other sex? How confident do you feel in your biological sex? How confident do you feel in your manhood? How confident do you feel in your womanhood? And here you might even think of ways, and not because I think this is good, but you might even think, you know, like, how much of a man are you? How much of a woman are you? If you kind of think about that and think, well, I'm not, you know, I'm comfortable being a man, but I'm not that much of a man, then I'd suggest, okay, hold on. There's an issue there. There's something going on that you're not at peace with your manhood. Because I didn't just say manhood in general, I said your manhood. How confident are you in your womanhood? You say, well, I'm a woman, but I'm not as much of a woman as other women. Or you might say, I'm not as much of a girly girl as other women. And I'd say, okay, well, hold on. Then is it possible that you're not as at peace with your womanhood as God would want you to be, or as God would invite you to be or help you to be? Another question. How much joy do you experience about the fact that you are a man? How much joy do you experience about the fact that you are a woman? Is there a sense of dignity that kind of you breathe in when you think of yourself as a man, guys? Is there a sense of dignity, like, oh, it is good to be a man? And do you feel that you stand up taller? And what about for you women? When you think of yourself as a woman, is there something do you kind of stand up taller and feel like it is good to be a woman? I am proud to be a woman in relationship to other women, in relationship to men, in relationship to children, in relationship to the world around you, in relationship to God. How comfortable, how much joy do you experience being either a man or a woman? There is such a thing, and you may be familiar with these terms, as misogyny and misandry. Misogyny is the hatred or devaluing of woman, and misandry is the hatred or devaluing of man. So let me come back to misogyny in just a minute, but I want to start with misandry. So the hatred or devaluing of man. And notice I didn't say hatred or devaluing of men, as in the specific male species on the planet, but of man. But both are true. But I want to start by just talking about the hatred or devaluing of man. Because what I mean by that, and the distinction I'm making there, is that I'm talking about man as a species, man as a creature, man as a being, man as an entity. In other words, the creature, man, that God created. There is an enemy who prowls about the earth since day one, who has hated not just specific men, but man in general, manhood in general. Because manhood, in its unique way in all of creation, bears the image and likeness of God. If Genesis 1 is true, then man bears the image of God. And so there can be men who walk the earth who are detached, disintegrated from their manhood in such a way that the image of God is distorted in them. It's blurry in them. It's faint in them. And I'd suggest to you, this is what the enemy of humanity, God's enemy, has been after since day one. He wants to mar, to scribble out, to blur, to diminish the image of God in man and woman. And so the best way to do that is to get men to be disintegrated from their manhood, because that's how they bear God's image in a unique way, if Genesis 1 is true. And the same true for women. So, for example, in the area of manhood, there are so many men who walk the earth who have this idea that men are just lustful, that men lust, it's just what they do. That given, quote unquote, the opportunity to lust, or given the opportunity to have sex, they will. If they can get away with it, they will. That is a blurred, a diminished, a scribbled out version of what it means to be a man. Because man is actually designed for sexual integrity. A man's body is just one body. He just has one penis. He just has one mind. He just has one set of eyes. He just has one body. And so if he is going to be sexual, his body testifies that he is designed for just one bride. Just one bride. And taking that further, man, have you considered how your body's sexuality images God, in that your body produces sperm, and when that sperm connects with a female's egg, it has the capacity to produce new life. This is miraculous, and I think so many men walk around just thinking of that as, that's what happens at sexual climax. That's just the culmination of the sexual pleasure, but it's so much more than that. Your semen is not just any kind of fluid. It has within it that which produces life when it combines with a woman's egg. Now, if you're a single man, it doesn't matter. You still carry within your body this same miraculous life-giving seed. And that ought to really kind of grow us up. So whether married or single, it really should give esteem to all of us because of what God has placed within our bodies and how that images our life-giving God. And this also brings into greater clarity God's design for male and female in marriage. Because whatever a man feels, whatever his felt sexual orientation, his sexed biology, his bodily orientation is for a woman. His body is designed for sexual union with a woman, not with another man. And so coming back here, you see that there are these many different forms of misandry in our culture that's blurring the image, or that's blurring God's image in man. And so men are walking around thinking they're just designed for lust. They're created to, you know, have sex with whomever, and they can't wait till marriage. Or if they are married, they're not going to be faithful to one wife. And if they're faithful to one wife, then, you know, it's not going to be with their eyes or their minds. And I'd suggest to you, no, that is actually a form of misandry. That is misunderstanding what a man is designed for. And it is a hatred of man, of God's vision, God's creation for man. Does any of this mean that someone has lost God's image in them entirely, or that they are beyond redemption? Absolutely not. Jesus came in the flesh to rescue men and the image of God in man. Are you at peace, brothers, with your manhood? Not the cultural version of what men are like, but with what it means to be a man. Likewise, let's talk about misogyny for a minute. The hatred of woman, which originated again with our enemy in the very beginning, because the enemy looks upon woman and does not like what he sees there, because woman, in a unique way in all of creation, bears the image of God in her body. And so the enemy wants to attack, mar, scribble out, blur, diminish, make faint the image of woman, even in women's bodies. And so on one end of the spectrum would be women wrestling with transgenderism, who take testosterone or have their have top surgery where their breasts are removed. And so in that way, medically working against the imprint of God that is in their sexed bodies, in their female bodies. Does that mean there's nothing left of the image of God in them? No, not at all. It doesn't mean that. Does it mean they're beyond redemption? Absolutely not. Jesus is bigger than all of this. But that's just one end of the spectrum of ways that women have devalued woman, even in their own bodies. Another example would be women who look down upon an image of woman in the fact that woman is designed to be a wife and a mother. That doesn't mean that every woman is going to be a wife and a mother, every individual woman. But whether you as an individual woman are a wife and a mother or not, you are still created with the capacity to be a wife, to be a bride, and to be a woman. And so your body carries around that beautiful uniqueness in all of creation. You have that potentiality in you. And I don't say that to diminish in any way single women, but rather to esteem all women, because your bodies have within them the capacity by God, designed by God, to carry another human life in your body, in your womb, and then to nurture, to nourish that little baby with your with your breasts, to give that baby nourishment, to feed that baby. I am in awe of a woman's body. This is amazing to me. And I think, I've said this before in this podcast, but I think when we behold God's image as it exists in woman, I think we'll be tempted to worship. Now, there's a twisting of that where men fall and kind of, babble and drool and at the image of woman as a sex object. And really, they're not looking at woman as God's design, but just as women, as sex objects to be used and discarded, not as with the beauty of the whole woman. And so we get a glimpse here of the way that sexual lust is just a twisting, it's perversion of the glory that is meant for man and meant for woman as we behold one another as image bearers of God. Okay, so let's come back to where we began. This love of man and this love of woman and our ability to be at peace with our own manhood or our own womanhood, and not just at peace with it as in we are content to be a man or a woman, but even delighting, rejoicing, feeling a sense of dignity in our manhood or our womanhood. And I've just scratched the surface. I'm just kind of standing at the door and kind of peering in, but there's a huge mystery and glory to being a man or to being a woman, to being man or to being woman, that I think we have so lost in our culture. And I wonder how much Christ would invite us to re-engage and to learn and to grow in that regard. Because if we desired to be men of sexual integrity or women of sexual integrity, to be whole and not disintegrated from ourselves as men and women, then it means becoming integrated again with what it means to be a man or what it means to be a woman as an image bearer of God. So again, I know I've just scratched the surface, but I want to just plant that seed, and I want to invite you to let it sit there, to ponder on it, to think about it in your life. Women, are you at peace? Are you joyous about? Are you happy about? Are you dignified about the fact that you are a woman? And men, are you joyous, at peace, dignified in the fact that you are man? This is a part of what it means to be the very good of God's creation. Again, hearkening back to Genesis 1, Lord, would you open our eyes and in our bodies, even as we walk about, even as we sit, as we are our bodies, male and female, would you give us a supernatural revelation, a deeper sense of what it means that we are very good man, very good woman, made in your image to bear your likeness in a unique way in all of creation. Make it so, Lord, for our good and for your glory and for the good of the earth, we pray it. Amen. Thanks for listening in. If you find the content of this podcast helpful, make sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That helps other people find the show. And if you'd like to check out more resources to help you in your journey towards becoming more whole, go to regenerationministries.org. Again, I'm Josh Glazer, and we'll see you next time.